Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Hey, well, good morning. How are we doing, church? Good. My name is Lee Rutter, and I am the associate pastor here at the Church of Lake Travis, and we are so glad that you are here this morning worshiping with us. Let me do just reiterate what Jeremy said earlier, and I want to welcome those who are guests. If you are one of our CLT regulars, let me just hear from y'all. If you would just put your hands together for those who are visiting with us this morning, we sure appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Thank you for that. We have been in this series called Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World for the last few weeks, and we started out with the very first week talking about how to raise kids in a positive world. One of the things that we focus on is how we can have kind of the clear end in mind. And so I remember when my children were little, there were little things that they did that just brought me some hope that they were going to progress in life. And so I remember the first time, like, they actually popped their arm out of the armhole. It was like, yes, man, we are working towards independence and just working with me on something. And I remember being so incredibly encouraged by that. So if you are here today and that's a stage you're struggling with, it is key for us to think, hey, I need to get some goals and get a clear end in mind. The second week we talked about how to have quality time. The way to have quality time is to have quantity time, spend quantity time with our children, spend a lot of time. The best opportunities to spend quality time with your children is just to spend a lot of time with them. This week we're going to be talking about these four phases, these four stages of life that I'm going to lay out. So let's pray and we're going to get to talking. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I just thank you for your word and its truth. I thank you for how it speaks to us about every aspect of life. God, I pray as we see how you, as our Heavenly Father, parent us, that we can learn so much from that. I think we see these four stages that we're going to talk about this morning in Jesus' relationship with his disciples and in your relationship with us. So, Father God, I pray that we can learn from you, being the ultimate parent, the best parent, being our Heavenly Father, and that we can see how we can love our children. In Jesus' precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So the Bible says that we are to raise up our children in the way that they should go. Raise up our children in the way that they should go. Our family camp speaker, Steve Geyer, and I want to encourage you, if you've never been to our family camp, definitely need to go to it. But he says this. He says, that should be more accurately read as train up our children in the way that they are bent. Train up our children in the way that they are bent. Every one of our children has certain proclivities in life, don't they? They have certain skills, gifts, talents, attitudinal differences, let me just say. One of the big challenges for us as parents, though, is that we have the same parenting style for all of our children, yet we expect a different response. And the challenge for us as parents is to recognize how they are different and then to parent them in the way that they will best respond. It kind of reminds me of like my golf game, my golf clubs. Each golf club serves a different purpose. And they're all bent differently, and I have to learn, as I got to be a better golfer, I had to learn how each golf club responded, did perform well in certain situations, how I'd want to use it here, not use it there. Our children are kind of like the same. I think about Beckett. Beckett's like, he's like a long iron. That dude is laser focused, passionate. A little bit of Beckett goes a long way, okay? Some of my neighbor friends are like, I see that in their relationship. Bryn, she's kind of like a lob wedge or a sand wedge. She can be used in a variety. She's creative. Put a lob wedge in the hands of Phil Mickelson, and he'll use it 20 different ways. That's Bryn. She's creative. She can do different things in different situations. And our kids, we have to see each one of them is different. And we have to, the challenge for us is to change our parenting style based on how each child will respond. One thing that I began to see early on in life, and Jeremy asked me, he said, hey, Lee, one thing I want you to think about is you've been a youth pastor for a long time, and I want you to think about how it is that as a youth pastor, you've seen some of these parents, things that you've learned along the years, that maybe are parent pitfalls, that are parent things that they've done well, parent peaks, And so talk about some things that you have seen. And one thing that I feel like I've seen in youth ministry, that there's kind of four stages of parenting. And it's a challenge because not only do we have to see how each child is meant differently, but then we have to parent them through each stage of that, each phase, each stage of life differently. We have to take their skills, bents, talents, their gifts, skill sets, parent them with the way they will respond through that, and then we have to parent them through these stages of life. And I kind of learned this early on before I had children. I had a really good friend. His name is Todd Garrett. He leads this awesome, I was sharing it with somebody earlier, leads an awesome ski camp here in Marble Falls for orphan children. This year, Jeremy and I got to go out and participate in it and be the pastors for it. But Todd has two awesome boys. And I remember asking him early on, what's the mystical, magical potion that allowed you to raise these awesome two boys? He said, there's no magic wand, Lee. That's one thing I want you to get. This is just a parenting guideline, little quid pro quo. What we share with you today will not make perfect kids. There's no guarantee, and there's no secret sauce. But he said, this is one thing that I learned early on. He said, I found that from the ages of 0 to 10, you have the truly, that's when you truly are parenting your child. You're really guiding them. And then beyond that, when they get beyond 10, they start to set their wings. They start to open their wings, and they start to fly a little bit. I didn't realize it was that young. But then I began to see it in the families that I was a youth pastor of. I began to see these four different stages. And so the first stage, the one that Todd was describing, is what I might call the command stage. And so at the command stage, because I said, this is what he called the because I said so stage. But it's what I will call the command stage. And so because I said so beautifully works at this point in time. It's great. You are the parent, you're the adult, okay? You're the grown-up, and I want you to hear this. It's what they expect from you from this 0 to 10 stage. They want a parent, not a friend. They want a parent during this stage. And so, because I said so really works, and you can use this as leverage in your relationship with them, and your children will respond to it. Now, some parents do undermine themselves. They undermine themselves by constantly threatening, by saying that they're going to discipline and then not following through. They undermine themselves by being their child's friend. You want to be their friend, but at this stage in life, they need a parent. They need an adult. They need a parent. They need someone to guide them through life. It's what their child expects. This is really big for us to get today. When we mess up any of these phases, when we switch around any of these, when we are later on in life with a child who is in 11th grade, but we're still in the command stage with them, we're going to confuse them, and you're going to frustrate them, and you're going to possibly create a rebellious child because you're switching around these different phases. You have a 7-year-old who wants a parent, but you're acting like a friend. No, that's what you do when they're out of college. That's the consultant phase. That's later on. But you're confusing them, and they're rebelling against this confusion. So it's going to be really key for us to get. During this stage of 0 to 10, I kind of call this bumper bowling. Like, when you take your 5-year-old out to go bowling, do you leave the gutters available? Do you leave them out? No. You put the bumpers up. You put some guide rails up to help them out. You know, it's good for them. They need that direction at this stage of life in bowling and in parenting. Now, some of y'all are still here, and you've got kids that you're like still, they're 17, 18, and you've got the bumpers up in their life. You're still got them with the little push ramp, and you think they're bowling 300, but just wait until they go off to college, my friends, and you're going to find out they were actually bowling a 5. It's a big principle for us to get that we need to get the stages at the correct time and place. If you're letting your child self-direct, it's confusing to them very often. The best response is to guide them, to tell them what to do. One thing I think that we need to do as we get toward that 7 to 10 age, though, is you begin to not just say, because I said so, or do this. You do need to say that, but don't leave it at that. As Beckett and Brent, as an 8 and 10-year-old, I think that 7 to 10-year-old stage, just because I said so doesn't work anymore. They're getting ready for that next stage. And so one thing that we have to transition to is saying, do this because. And I want them to begin thinking about the theory and the rationale behind why we're expecting. And they want that. But make no mistake, we are the parent, and what we say goes during this stage. If you've ever been around our house very long, you will come to the conclusion that our house is a nudist colony, practically. Not in and of Candace and I, okay? I'm afraid people may think that, but our kids wear as little clothes as possible. Beckett would come home from school and just clothes start flying off, man. A couple of weeks ago, I come home and both Beckett and Bear are playing basketball next door in their skivvies. And so I'm afraid that our next door neighbors think that they're like, hey, do you buy your children clothes? One thing we learned early on in life, whoever our youngest child is, it just seems like the more naked they get, okay? And so one day, one of the older kids opens up the front door in our new house, and Bear just shoots out, butt naked, stark naked, and he's like, naked freedom, woo! We're all going streaking, like naked freedom is the best freedom. He just shoots out like a cannon for the street, and he's like, we're all going streaking, let's go. And at first, I laughed. I want it to be clear who is the redneck in our neighborhood, and it's me. I'll go ahead and own that. If anybody's writing any mean messages on next door about the redneck in the neighborhood, I want to go ahead and assume that liability. But he takes off, shot out of the front door like a cannon. And at first I'm laughing, but then I see this truck turn the corner. And I realize this isn't going to end well. And so it's time for me to be the parent. So I take off running after Bear. And I see that there's about to be this intersection between a 30-pound sack of flesh and a one-ton truck. And it's not going to end well. What do I do during this time? Do I stop at the door and say, hey, Bear, let's have a discussion? I mean, he's running naked. Is he thinking discussion at this point in time? Is it time for me then to chase after him to get halfway there and be like, hey, let's discuss the theory about how things don't end well between a 30-pound sack of flesh and a one-ton truck? No. I ran after Bear, and I scooped him up in my arms and took him back inside. It wasn't the time for discussion. It was time for me to be the parent, to guide him, to direct him. Now, one of the goals for us at this stage in life is to go from discipline to self-discipline. This was a time for discipline. I hope to get him to the place where Beckett and Brent are at, where they are then self-disciplining. When I saw this truck coming around the corner, it was very clear to me, discussion, rationality, theory, wasn't time to be his friend, it was time to be his parent, it was time for action and guidelines. The Bible says this in Hebrews 12:6. It says this. It says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Isn't that interesting that the Bible can equate discipline with love? God loves you too much not to discipline you. He wants you to grow in your faith and in your sonship and daughtership. That's what we hope for our kids. And my friends, our goal is to get them from a place of discipline to self-discipline. But how do we get them to a place of self-discipline? Discipline. And so the message version says this in Proverbs 3. It says this in Proverbs 3:24. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. So the first phase of parenting is the command stage. The next phase of parenting, next stage, is the coaching stage. And this happens, I believe, from 10 to 15. And so we become not so much, we're not command and control anymore, but we're moving into this coaching stage where we are giving them opportunities. We are setting them up with scrimmages in life to see how they are going to respond. We're coaching our children. We're no longer directly guiding them on how they think or what they do. Because I said so doesn't work at this stage, because they are going to correct it. They're going to question it. Some of you are like, amen, I know where that's at, Lee. But they're going to question it. Our hope is to encourage them, encourage our child to grow from direction to self-direction during this stage. Your goal is to give them more responsibility with each job. The Bible says this, to those who prove faithful, more opportunity is given. God will trust them with more. And that's our opportunity here as coaches. We want to give them the opportunity to rise up to the occasion. In the coaching stage, we want to clarify our child's choices instead of dictating them. We want to help clarify them, narrow them down, instead of dictating. And one of the best tools as a parent coach from this stage is that of choices. The key, though, is to give them good choices. My friend taught me this. He said that. He said later on in life, once they begin to spread their wings, he said you want to begin giving them options, choices, so they begin to feel some responsibility, begin to take some responsibility. Let me tell you, my friends, you want that during the stage. You want to see how they're going to respond, okay? So you're giving them good options. There is no D. It's multiple choice, but there's no D option. Okay, it's not like, hey, we want you to go over and play with the neighbor who we know has loaded guns and leaves them out, all right? It's not like, hey, we want you to go over to the neighbor's house who we know who has pornography and hang out at his house. Or my mom, this is a mistake that I made. I invited a young lady to come to my house when I was at this stage, and I knew that they weren't there. Oh, but mom, we were going to stay outside and play basketball, okay? My mom didn't go for that. There's no D option. We're going to give them good options, not bad options. Yes, you may be outside playing basketball, but nobody's there to hold you accountable to that, my friend. I don't know whether you're playing basketball or what else you may be doing, okay? So there is no D option. There's no bad choice. We give them options, but we have to think through, and this is one of the challenges of this phase. We have to begin to think through what will be good options for them. A key coaching phrase would be, would you rather do this or do that? The third phase of parenting is the counselor stage. This is when they get into about 9th, 10th, 11th grade. We step into this counselor phase, this counselor stage of parenting. If you haven't experienced this stage yet, you will. Some of you are deeply in the throes of it. You know this. You're no longer the driving influence in their life, but somebody else is, or something else is. I don't look forward to this stage. Because right now, I come home, I love it, and my kids are like, Daddy, right? My dog comes and greets me. My kids come and greet me. I mean, this is good. My wife is like, I'll talk to you later. I'm tired, okay? Take the kids and go do something with them. But my kids come out to see me, and I love it. I mean, I take Bryn on like a couple of dates a year. We'll do a Christmas date. A couple of weeks ago, I got to take her to Beauty and the Beast. This is awesome. I mean, we went and we just ate at like Gordo's. If you've ever been to Gordo's, I mean, this is a dad date. We had the honey butter chicken biscuit or donut with like three sides of honey. And then we had, that was our entree with like three sides of honey. And then she got like Death by Chocolate, which is a chocolate donut with brownies and fudge and chocolate chip cookies on top of it. And then syrup drizzled all over it. The only thing with color in it was a cherry on top of it. And then I got the Cinnabon, which is like the donut that's all cinnamon flavor. It's just like you went to Auntie Anne's from the mall and just had them pour cream cheese and cinnamon on top of it. And then she brings out, she's like, do you want a side of ice cream with that? I was like, well, of course. She brought out later homemade whipping cream. I'm like, we took one bite of the actual entree and just dug into the desserts. This is a great day. But if time begins to pass and whatever her internal clock is for a daddy date, she said, Daddy, when are we going on our next date? I got to be honest, I love that stage. But there's going to be the stage where I'm no longer the driving influence in her life. And no matter what I've done in the past, some hairy-legged boy is going to come along. No matter how much I've warned her about being singularly focused and really dumb and being, you know, that they have nothing better on their brain than one thing, okay? and how they are really like, you know, Satan's spawn. She's going to come along and decide that this hairy-legged boy is the thing that she wants to focus on most in her life. And I'm like, why do you want to think about this Neanderthal when you could be hanging out with me, okay? Well, I used to be one too. But that's going to happen. Friends, hobbies, a boy, whatever. It's going to come along, and I'm no longer going to be the direct driving influence of this counselor stage. But the key at this stage is to help them grow from dependence to independence. And this is huge. This is where I see some of the parents mess up the most, because they're still in the parenting stage, the command stage, and they haven't moved to this stage. And so I'm like, whoa, I know what's about to happen when your kid goes off to college. I can see it. It's pent up in them, and they're going to go crazy. You want to start giving them some freedoms to learn while they're under your household, under your roof. They're going to mess up. They're learning to go from dependence to independence. They're going to make mistakes. But I believe that if you set in motion, if you have set the tone for allowing them to make good decisions, to learn from what is fair and what is unfair, what is right and wrong, that they will begin to evolve into this person that you want them to be, to go from dependence to independence. This is a key phrase for you. We've already talked about choices, but this is a key phrase for you at this stage. This is a choice that you can make. It's your choice. So a great conversation that can take place is when they come to you discussing this matter, you can say, hey, what would you do if I gave you the freedom to choose? And then listen to it. And then say this. It's your choice. You make the decision. They might mess up, but I believe now is the time that you want to see them do that while they're under your roof, so that you can guide them for when they're no longer under your roof and they're no longer under your accountability and under your control. You begin to give them that freedom. The fourth stage, the consultant stage. It's the consultant stage. So I can't imagine. Definitely don't want to think about this with Brent. Life is just flying by. Sitting there looking at pictures of her where she's all fuzzy headed and cute. And I'm like, I'm going on this date with her and I'm staring at her, making her uncomfortable because I'm like, she is beautiful. How do I protect her? I don't look to this day. I don't look forward to this stage, but I can't imagine being a parent dropping off their child their freshman year. I remember what it was like for my parents, and they dropped off my sister at Midwestern State University in Wichita Falls. They weren't ready to drop off. I mean, there were tears, literally. We hit the door at the dorm, and the tears started flowing. And Mom starts looking for excuses and reasons to come back. So we get like 5 miles down the road, and Mom goes, oh my gosh, we forgot to get her a mop. And I'm like, that's at the top of every college student's wish list, Mom. So she goes to Walmart, gets a mop, comes back, go through the tears, hugging. I'm like, let's go. 5 miles down the road, Dad goes, I feel like we need to give her a little more cash. We go back, give her some cash. That is at the top of every college kid's wish list. But anyway, I don't look forward to the stage. But that is the consultant stage, is when you're driving away in life and you're truly set them up for independence and they're ready to set their wings and fly. And your role changes from that of proactive involvement to patient availability. You've gone from being proactively involved in the everyday decision and the operations of your child to just being patiently available. I was asking a couple of people who are at this stage of life, and I think I've done well with it. Kim Stotts, I work with at Chick-fil-A. I was asking her about how she's gone through that. She has all college students and above. And she said this. I said, what's the key to getting through that stage? She says, wait on them to call. Patient availability. She says, if I wait on them to call, when they call, I know that they want to talk and that they have time to talk. Patient availability. I was talking to Ann Durrett this morning. They're at that stage with college students and above. And I learned another thing. I mean, I knew this about the Durretts, but here's another way that you can effectively go through this stage of life and maintain that active, and you can maintain some involvement and connection in your child's life. This is something that I see with them. Have a cool boat and go to cool places, okay? So that's the key with them. when Louis helps us with setup and Ann help us with setup and teardown team, and Louis flies as a pilot. Whenever he's not there, we always play like, where's Waldo? Where's Louis today? And today Casey asked me, where's Louis today? And she said, he's in Aspen, Colorado. And their college-age son called him up and said, Dad, can I go with you? So there's a principle, get a pilot's license, go to cool places, do cool things. Let me tell you how you can do this in case you're not a pilot. You don't have a boat. I believe firmly in this. And again, how you navigate these early stages of life is how effective this stage will be. Do they want to hear from you? Do they want you to be a part of their life? I'm a big believer in this. That you begin to set up these ritualistic things, do these things with your child from a young age, and they will want to come back to them later on. It can be boating. It can be going cool places. It can be a vacation. It can be that you go see this family member every time of year. For Candace and I, it is Galveston. I never imagined Galveston, Texas, brown water being the thing that would excite me about my family life. But our kids are fired up about it. And if we continue doing it, I saw this with students who were in my student ministries, the families who had ritualistic vacations, trips, visiting family, Friday night game night, every Sunday after church going to Pete Terry's, first day of school ice cream, whatever it is, those ritualistic things, your kids will want to come back to it when they're old. They'll want you to be involved, but you have to be patient. My parents rock this stage. And I am so thankful for them. They just dominate the stage. At this point in stage, with patient availability, you just ask great questions. My parents are awesome about it. I know that they wish that I would do things differently, more like them. But at this stage of life, they trust me to make the good choice. And so they just learned to ask good questions and then to listen. And guess what? Because they are so good at it, I come back for more. I want my parents involved in my life. I want to hear from them. I want to hear their wisdom. It may just be a sounding board where I go differently than maybe what they had hoped for. But it's a stage of interaction that I hope for when my children get to that consultant phase of life. As we come to our communion time, my friends, I want you to hear this. The incredible thing about all this is that God practices all these stages with us. God loves you through all these stages. He knows your differences. He knows your skill sets. He knows your gifts. He knows your proclivities. And God loves you in a way that you will respond. Today, sitting in the seat, I want you to know God loves you in a way that you will respond. The way that we can all respond is through his son, Jesus, who laid down his life on the cross for us. And that's something nobody ever will do in our lives. God, Jesus, did that for us. That's an incredible opportunity for you to respond to. I love how we see this with Jesus and the disciples. He set up guidelines, the command stage. He says, hey, pray this way. Go into the villages and do it this way. He gave them very clear directives in their life. Then he got to this coaching phase. And he said, hey, let me set up some scrimmages for you. Peter, walk on water. Go out into the villages without me, two by two, and move mountains. Talk about incredible opportunities. We see the counseling stage where he came along and just guided them through life and asked incredible questions and then just sat back and listened. And we saw him come to that final phase of my friends where he is patiently waiting. The Bible says this in 1 Peter, that God is patient and wishes that none would perish without him. In the story of the prodigal son, I love it. There's a prodigal father in that story. Because what father wastes? Most of us would experience that separation and that divorce from the family. We'd be like, I'm done with you. Come pick up your stuff. I'll leave it on the porch. I'm done with you. I don't want anything to do with you. But instead, where do we find God, the prodigal God, waiting on the son? The Bible says before the son even saw the father was on the front porch looking, waiting every moment, every minute, every hour for the son to come back home. And that's God with you, my friends. He loves you. He gave up his son for you, and now he's patiently waiting for you to respond. Are you ready to take that step? That step towards God to come home and to hear from him, to have the Father love you, to have him actively engaged in your life. As we come to our communion time today, my friends, we've got communion down front in the back. We're gonna have the prayer team in back. Maybe you need to take that first step today and come home. The communion team is here to talk with you, to pray with you, help take that first step. This is your time. Y'all bow your heads and your hearts and allow God to sink this into your soul. The band's gonna do another song. You can take communion and respond in whatever way you wish.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.